Welcome to the Dames Who Dish podcast.
Hi, Gina.
Hey, Anne.
Come on and zoom, 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 zoom.
Oh, God, do you remember that show? Yeah, you do.
Of course I remember. My daughter was on it.
She what?
Well, that's the story. Remember they used to go to local places and you'd have like the little commercial break with the locals? And she was on it. Yes, I have a video of a VHS tape of her.
Oh, my gosh. She was on Zoom?
She actually tells people that she was on Zoom, where, in fact, she wasn't really on Zoom with the regular people, but she was on an airing of Zoom. Yes.
Funny. Now, I thought that show dated back to, like, our time.
I think it definitely did. And then they brought it back.
Oh, it was a reboot.
Yep.
God, all these things that... I wasn't aware of. Yeah, it was quite a star in her own right.
Well, she thinks she was, that's for sure. So we're trying this new recording on Zoom. We tested it out. It's not as grainy. It may be a little lighter. I have the microphones both at you, and I think it's a little clearer than you calling in on the phone. Plus, I can see you clearer.
Well, let's hope so, because we're doing the best that we can in these
By the way, you have one notification.
What is that? Gina's computer.
Give her Alexa off. Hold on.
Her Alexa's going crazy.
All right.
I think everybody's just going to have to turn their speakers up a little bit this week when they hear us, and we'll see if it is a little nicer. We'll see. I don't know.
Well, we hope so. We're trying.
They did drop the Real Housewives of New York trailer, and they dropped the Real Housewives of Potomac trailer. Did you catch those?
I didn't see the trailer, but I did see the cast shot.
Of what? Potomac or New York?
Potomac, yeah.
Potomac, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I didn't watch it yet either. Although I'm looking forward to it. I think it starts in April.
Oh, so we've got three shows starting in April?
Yeah. When does New York start? April also?
April, Beverly Hills is April, and now Potomac is April.
Oh, I think so.
Well, we're picking back up again.
We are. I mean, it's kind of been a light week after our last taping.
I know, but, you know, we're not going to have any reunions to speak of, so Atlanta won't have a reunion.
Mm-hmm.
Does Summer House ever have a reunion? I don't think so.
I don't think they have. Or maybe they had one of those in the clubhouse reunions early on.
I think so, yeah.
But they haven't had one in a long time. And Vanderpump. We probably won't have a reunion for Vanderpump.
Do we need one, Anne?
We'll discuss. Probably not.
All right, let's jump into Married at First Sight.
Yes. Love this show. One of my favorite shows right now.
Oh, totally. And I can't wait. I savor it. I even watch it twice sometimes.
I know. And it's 2 hours, so that's saying a lot.
But it's good 2 hours. It's not a waste of my time 2 hours.
Yeah, and I don't feel like it's all bullshit either. I really don't.
Yeah.
Let's start off with Austin and Jessica. There was a little hiccup in their relationship. Finally.
Just a little hiccup. I mean, it wasn't much. Austin, I guess he found out. I don't know if he started a new job or what. He's kind of starting at a ground level, and he's going to work his way up. And his new job is going to require him to travel maybe 2 months out of the year.
It wasn't very much.
Well. No, I mean, it didn't sit well with Jessica, but I mean, she got over it.
She was caught off guard. She said that he texted her, you know, kind of like, hey, I'm going to be doing this. He didn't like throw it at her like, hey, by the way, I'm leaving.
Right.
I don't know. I thought she reacted a little, I don't know, it just seemed like a little much.
It was a little overreaction, I think. They're both single. It's not like they have kids or anything. So it wasn't a big deal in my mind, but maybe it was a big deal to her. But this was their first little argument.
Yeah, I don't know. I would be happy to have a husband that traveled once in a while.
Well, when you've been married as long as we have, we welcome travel.
Yes. It's very nice. So Dr. Viviana, we got a lot of Dr. Viviana this episode, which I love. She's just amazing.
Yeah, she's really good.
She gives great advice. She doesn't hold anything back, especially with Zach, and we'll get to him later. But when she met with Austin and Jessica, she sort of pushed Jessica again to tell Austin how she was feeling. And she's like, what are you afraid of? Why don't you just tell him? And so right there, Jessica said, Austin, I do love you. Oh, God, I felt so horrible for Jessica because Austin was kind of just like, yeah,
Yeah.
I really care for you too.
You don't want him to say it back right then and there, because then it's like he was pressured to say it. And he's very, and we don't really know why, but he's very guarded when it comes to the L word, which I don't know how you put a time frame on it. Like Jessica kind of says, like, how do you put a time frame on it? If you feel it, you feel it.
Yeah. I think he probably loves her. I don't know. I'm not sure why he won't say it. Because he said, I've never felt like this before with anyone. I mean, you can tell he really, really likes her. It has been a short amount of time.
Yeah.
I like that Jessica said it. I think it's freeing. And now she's saying it to everybody. She's telling everybody, I told him I loved him.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cute.
I say by the end of the season, he's going to say it.
Or I'm thinking, is he saving it for the very end? He's going to come out with, hey, I really do love you. That would be nice.
They're already talking about where they're going to live and their future. So he's not going anywhere.
No, they definitely talk about their future. But I do understand her side of it. It would feel a lot better knowing that he loves her. I mean, just knowing that somebody loves you, that's a huge weight lifted.
Yeah, I agree.
They're going to be fine. But she was a little upset about him in the travel situation.
Yeah, but she'll be fine.
Who do you want to talk about? Mika and Michael?
Mika and Michael, God, this just keeps getting more and more twisted.
What the hell? Okay, so I was watching when they decide to come out with all the finances, and they're going to work it out and see what each other makes, show each other. So she's got her little laptop. They're holding hands. She's trying to be open. It was almost like she was so excited that he's finally opening up. And then he pulls out this little letter in his bedside table, because that's where you keep those letters of offer, in your bedside table.
Well, he doesn't have a check stub. That was a little weird.
That's a new job. No check stub from the new job. I can understand that maybe. Well, maybe he hasn't received a paycheck yet.
Well, what he was saying, you know, as someone who's written many, many, many offer letters in my career, what he was saying made absolutely no sense. He was trying to get to a figure saying that the number that was in his offer letter, even though it said, here's your gross pay, the number in there was minus taxes and insurance.
So what he was getting at was he's pretending like he was offered, say, $120,000 a year. That letter said $120,000. And then he's showing her a figure on his phone. That's probably $60,000. That's what I'm thinking.
He was adding back in all of the deductions that would have come out of the check, which, like she said, I don't understand. Does he think she's stupid? Any person with half a brain is going to know if this is your gross salary, it's not less all of the deductions that would normally come out of your check. And like she said, she totally called him out. How do they know what your deductions are going to be? How do they know what the taxes are going to be?
Oh, and you could see him. It was so uncomfortable for him. He's like, well, you know, this is what probably I'm going to be able to contribute, because after all these things, this is what I have. Her face was totally blank.
I was thinking to herself, he's not telling me this right now. There is no way that he thinks I'm believing what he's telling me right now, because this is such a bunch of bullshit.
It was so, Michael.
But don't you agree? Like, he's pathological. Like, he needs some professional help.
I told you.
It's not normal.
Listen, when she went to go talk to the sister, that sister said, what you say is lying, he thinks is just a fabrication. But it's not. It's lying. I knew that. In his head, he thinks he's just fabricating. He's done it for so long.
How does he always seem to turn it around where he's the victim? Every time he lies, he then turns it around so that he's the victim.
Yeah, but she called him on that. When she left that apartment and she was talking to the producers, like, I'm done. He won't stop freaking lying. And that freaking offer letter is not a real offer letter. She's like, he needs professional help.
Yeah, oh, I agree.
God.
You can't keep saying it's because you were abandoned or because of your childhood. Every person knows right from wrong, truth from lies. You cannot use that as an excuse.
Oh, he kind of twists everything around to make it look like, the reason why I do this is because of this.
Right.
And that's when she basically says, Michael, you're not the victim. You are lying to me. So stop trying to turn everything around when I call you on your shit. Stop it. He admits a little bit, yes, I'm trying to be somebody I'm not. You know, I just never felt accepted as a kid. But not until she talked to the sister. Now, that was eye-opening, don't you think?
Yeah.
I liked the sister's explanation. I think she did a really good job. It's saying the exact same thing that Michael said, but it's saying it in a way that Mika can understand. And that was good. Poor little Michael, as a little kid, people would make fun of him. So he created this alternate person. And Michael did explain, I think, pretty well that the person that he's kind of pretending to be, everybody likes. So why not try to keep up with that? So I do agree. You know, I feel bad for him. I get what he's doing.
I do, Anne, but he knows what he's doing wrong. He's now an adult. You cannot keep using this as an excuse. You know, when those words come out of your mouth, they are not true.
So in his mind, he's not lying. He's telling people what they want to hear to make everything okay. So I really do believe that he thinks he is stepping up. And I feel like he doesn't quite get it. He hasn't had enough therapy to know what he's doing is wrong.
I don't think he's had any therapy, and he needs to get some.
Yeah, he does.
Because yeah. This is not normal adult behavior. This is maybe something a child would do, but not as a 30-something-year-old adult.
It's a lot. And if he can really break down and figure out exactly what he's doing and why he's doing it, and I mean, we know why he's doing it now. So yeah. He just needs to stop, but he can't stop because he doesn't know when he's doing it. I don't think he knows when he's doing it. He's been doing it for so long.
He can't help himself. Mm-hmm. Things just come out of his mouth and he has no control.
Because even the way he was talking to Dr. Viviana, I felt like she was, you know, softening towards him because he's really good with his words. He's gotten to be very good at explaining things the way he wants people to perceive them.
Yeah, but this is why he's pathological, mm-hmm. is because he knows now how to manipulate people into feeling sorry for him when he knows he's lying.
Yeah, well, I don't know if he's ever been called on it before because nobody cared enough to even figure out that he was lying. He's never had to step up before. Now, I give Mika so much freaking credit for saying, you know what? All right, now I get it. Now I understand him and I'm going to get through this with him. That's crazy to me.
Well, until she finds out he never purchased those tickets to Jamaica, then it's all going to come crumbling down.
But if he just admits to her that he never purchased them, he has a chance. But he will never admit it.
There's going to be a story. It's going to be some story.
Now, next week, they all go to that. I'm kind of jumping ahead because a lot goes down at the couple's weekend retreat, which I cannot wait. I'm so glad they started adding this as part of the show. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of want to save. Let's save Zach and Mindy till the end. Yeah, I like to end with them. Let's talk a little Katie and Derek.
Ooh, boy. I had a lot of feelings about Katie after this episode.
Mm-hmm. She's got a lot going on.
She's got some issues.
That now, she hasn't dealt with.
No, exactly. Derek takes her to his home and they go through some stuff in the garage when he was a kid, his graduation pictures, stuff from college. And she's got a real problem with some of the stuff that he shares with her, which is completely irrelevant at this stage in his life.
You know, I can't figure out what she's angry at. That he had a past? It doesn't sound like it was that crazy. He had relationships. They did some fun stuff. And now she's thinking, why haven't we done any of this fun stuff? Well, we've been together for 4 weeks.
It all started with the poem.
Right.
He wrote this poem and it was about love and all this stuff. And he says he wrote it just kind of envisioning what love would feel like and what love would be. She doesn't believe him. She thinks it was written about someone in particular. I don't know. Her whole argument was so off base to me.
When she opened up a little bit about why she kind of feels the way she does about his dreaming and she feels like his head's in the clouds a little bit, and she said she had to be the strong one in her family, and she was the one when her parents got divorced, she was making sure everything was okay. So she grew up. She didn't kind of have the childhood. He did the same thing, But now he wants the childhood. He doesn't want to give up those dreams. And so he kind of stays childlike. So in her mind, he's being super immature. And even Dr. Viviana was like, you need to let yourself be more childlike. You don't have to be so stern and closed off to all of his fun ideas.
Yeah.
I don't think she's ever going to get past the fact that he wants to do all this crazy fun stuff. She's very annoyed by it.
Oh my God. She's so annoyed by it. She's a total joy kill. She sucks the life out of him.
In the beginning, I thought she was going to be the fun one.
It's not looking like it. I mean, I really felt bad for him because she was just really mean to him. At least he's an idiot. I mean.
And she's like, who the fuck are you? I don't even know who you are. How could you write this beautiful, amazing poem in freaking high school? Just go back to high school and talk about love. There must have been a love of your life. No. He's like, I just imagine what love might be and what love could be. There's nothing wrong with that. Why does she think that's so crazy? Is she still looking for an excuse to get out?
I still think that, I think she is looking for an excuse, and she's not really taking the time to get to know who he really is deep. She's a total buzzkill. She bugs me.
I just think that they're now not a good match. I thought in the beginning that they were good. And next week, when they're at the couples thing, she gets jealous that him and
Taylor
are chatting. And then she makes the comment, something about, oh, where's this cool you normally? I get the freaking nerdy you. Something like that.
She's mean.
I just wonder, is she being mean because she wants to get out? Or is she being mean because she's feeling like he might not be that into her? That's what I can't figure out. Is she want out or is she afraid? That's what I don't know with her.
I don't know. I still think she's looking for excuses because I don't think that she's all as into him as he's into her. And I think she's just looking for an easy way out.
Well, now I don't think he's into her as much at all.
Yeah.
So.
Well, he should be.
Now. All right. I want to talk a little bit about Brandon and Taylor. That was quite shocking. I did not know that they came back together for a time.
This took a turn.
I was totally shocked by this whole situation that he moved back in.
Yeah.
They're trying to work things out. I like that Brandon shaved his little mustache. That made me very happy.
He seems like he's trying too, but I feel like, man, Taylor will not cut him any slack.
No, and I can't tell if she's doing the same thing that maybe Katie's doing. He's trying. I feel like he's trying. They go out to dinner. They come home. She says, did you like my dress? It's a new dress. And he's like, yeah, I loved your dress. You looked amazing. Well, why didn't you say anything? He's like, I'm saying it now. She wants too much. He's like, listen, I'm just back. I'm trying. I'm letting my walls down slowly. I mean, he is really trying. I like Brandon now.
I like Brandon too. And now I feel a little empathy towards him. And I feel like Taylor is really hard on him. I don't know if she's used to getting a lot of attention and that's what she needs. It kind of seems like that.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. She's used to so much attention. I mean, we all like that. We all like to be complimented.
Yeah, but there's a fine line because that can get annoying after a while too. And then it becomes like, okay, is it fact or is it just a bunch of BS?
Right. I mean, maybe if she just told him, hey, I love to be complimented. And that maybe that was her way of telling him that. I'll give her that. You know, every girl wants to be complimented.
That's her love language.
Yes. We should take that test.
Yeah.
What do you think your love language would be? Acts of service?
I don't think it's words of affirmation. I could really give a shit about that. I think it's more acts of kindness.
I think mine would definitely be acts of kindness. I'm over the rest of the stuff. I'm over. You know, maybe early on it would have been other things, but now it's definitely acts of kindness.
I find it annoying.
What, the words of affirmation? What about the gifts? Gifts?
Not the giver on my side over here.
No. Gifts. All right, let's talk Zach and Mindy finally.
Oh, God. Finally.
Finally, Mindy. Hallelujah. It took a while for her, but you know what? The reason why it took a while for her, because she was giving it her best shot, but it wasn't until her friend actually had to open her eyes that she went ding, or her friends kind of pushed her on it. If she didn't meet with her friends, because she was perfectly happy with Zach following the rules she gave him, but not following them at all.
Yeah, he didn't really follow them at all. But I think that, like you said, when her friend, the light went off, when her friend is the one who mentioned to Lindsay about the ex-boyfriend wanting to give her a ride from the airport, and then she knew for sure that Lindsay told Zach, and Zach had lied about it.
Yep.
But I don't have anything bad to say about Mindy. She's exhausted all of her options.
Oh, she's done everything. My only question is, what is that full story? Not that it matters, but
yeah.
If Mindy told her friend, Shani, that her ex-boyfriend wanted to pick her up from the airport, was the ex-boyfriend in contact with Mindy? Or was Mindy saying, oh my God, I should just have my ex-boyfriend pick me up at the airport? Like, she was angry.
I don't think so. I think she probably just mentioned it like, oh, you know, he reached out and wanted to pick me up from the airport.
Yeah.
It was probably not even a big deal.
No, it doesn't sound like it was a big deal, but now I'm kind of curious, like, what was that conversation? Because she was coming back from her honeymoon. And besides, yeah. I'm sorry, Zach, you're a fucking liar, because when you were on your honeymoon, first night in, he said to her, I'm not attracted to you. So you can't pretend like this little, quote, secret that you had. By the way, we were completely wrong with the secret.
Yes, we were. And Dr. Viviana didn't give it up.
No, Dr. Viviana said, I'm curious if you guys are right. She knew we were wrong. She was being nice to us. Yeah, he was out from day one. This was just a little thing he was trying to use, like, oh my God, see, Mindy, you haven't been so honest with me either.
He's a total manipulator.
Yeah.
I think he's like a total asshole this whole season. There's no getting out of it.
Mm-mm.
And I think he was relieved once Mindy said, I'm out. I completely believe he was in it for publicity, promoting his business, his own promotion, promotional opportunities, whatever, but he's got to be like the most hated guy, one of the most hated guys on Married at First Sight ever, because he was a total jackass.
I don't think he's quite the one that's the most hated. Remember the one from a couple with Kate?
Was that Matt?
No, Matt was too. I forgot about Matt, but remember a couple seasons?
Kate? Yeah, the other guy. Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I forgot about him. There's a few that are up for the biggest dicks. But when Mindy finally said to him, you know, I'm out, you've lied too much, I just can't do this, I felt like if he tried to fight it, if he said, you know what, you're absolutely right, I totally lied because I was protecting everybody involved, I shouldn't have done that. We'll talk about his conversation with Dr. Viviana, because I thought that was fucking amazing. Dr. Viviana, what she said to him was so perfect. I feel like if Zach really copped to everything and he said, like he's been saying all along, I still want to really be in this, I feel like Mindy would have said, okay, one more chance.
But yeah, I think you're probably right.
But he didn't. All he said was, I don't know what to say. That's it. Because he was like, oh, thank God. She broke up with me. So this is what I've wanted all along. And I don't have to come over here anymore. Nuts. Nuts. I don't have to stop by the apartment. He was so relieved.
Out of the drawer.
Yep. my pair of socks. All right. So when Dr. Viviana met with him, how weird is that? Do you not know that Dr. Viviana knows everything and knows what's going on? He acted like, oh yeah, we had a little setback, but we're working things out.
Well, he's full of crap. I mean, he always, whoever he meets with, he makes it sound like it's no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But he said he put in genuine effort, and Dr. Viviana totally called him out on it.
Yeah, that was great. Well, the thing is, in his mind, he put in effort. He went by and saw her once in a while when they were filming. He called her and they did some dates. I mean, in his mind, that was the effort. How crazy is that?
He's delusional.
He still says he didn't lie. Dr. Viviana says, did you lie about anything? He goes, no, I didn't. I mean, she was shocked. She like had to take a gulp and then said, that's interesting. So you don't think you lied about that situation with Lindsay? No. And then when she said, you realize you were protecting Lindsay over your own wife, Mindy. And his eyes went like, oh, you're right. Dr. Viviana is awesome. Love her.
Well, Zach's not the smartest guy. I mean,
I'm going to go back to our earlier episodes. Gina was in love with Zach.
Well, I loved how he looks. And beyond that, he's a shell of a man.
He absolutely is. And she is free of him. And I'm glad she had all her friends around and she had that big party. I'm done. Go, Mindy.
Awesome.
It was great.
I can't wait until the reunion show and see what they both have to say. Because he's not going to have a whole lot of anything to say, I don't think.
Here's what he would do if he was smart. He would say, you are all absolutely right. I handled the situation in the worst way possible. I didn't realize what I was doing. I was trying to come off as being a nice guy, and I was trying to work it out in the best way I could. That's what he's going to do. And guess what? Everybody's going to go, you know what? He's not such a bad guy after all.
I don't think he's smart enough to do that.
I think he will. He's had time. That's what he's going to try to do anyway. Jerk.
What are they, like, they have 18 days left or something?
Yeah, so next week, listen, this couple's weekend that they started doing about 3 seasons ago was gene fuckingness. Getting all those couples together in a cabin out in the woods where they can't talk to anybody else. Oh, my God, they all explode. The only one I didn't see any, well... Yeah, the only one was Austin and Jessica. You don't see any clips of them.
No, they'll be just fine. The rest of them completely...
explode, and it's going to be great!
Totally.
Or implode, I should say. I hope that they already did the reunion. Do you think they already taped everything?
Oh, my God. You know what? I hope they did. I hope they did, because otherwise there may not be a reunion.
Let's go to, what, Vanderpump?
Yeah, let's talk about Vanderpump.
The wedding is finally over, Gina.
Oh, thank God.
They're home and it's all over with.
Instead of the wedding, we have to watch 15 minutes of Schwartz's pet lizard dog who died, this memorial that they had at the Mondrian, which he had the lizard for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, how desperate are they?
They're filling time.
Storyline, because this was the dumbest storyline ever.
Well, something like this fake storyline brings the old cast and the new cast together for no reason, but it's an event that the new cast can come to. They don't know Schwartz. They don't know Katie. They don't know any of these people.
It was a forced situation because, yeah, there's two separate storylines, and we talked about this before. The two storylines are not intertwining in any real way at all.
No, they're trying to make it work. This is what confused me. They have Ariana, who is, you know, filling in as a bartender at Sir every once in a while. All of a sudden, Tom is behind the bar also. Tom, who's a part owner in Tom Tom, is behind the bar at Sir. This is all a setup.
No, it's a total setup. And I told you before the way they filmed there, because we'd been there when they filmed. They film their little segment and then they are out of there. They're not actually bartending. They're not actually the waitressing, some of them are.
Well, we know the new cast. The new cast is working there. It's the old cast. Yeah. They are not working there anymore. They are picking up a paycheck. They're showing up for filming. That's it.
Yeah, I was puzzled by that too. Like, why is Sandoval bartending when he is part owner of Tom Tom? Now, maybe if he was bartending at Tom Tom,
that would be understandable. But remember, he was still bartending when Tom Tom opened, and Lisa said, what are you doing here? You can't be a bartender here and an owner over there. You can't be working here any longer. Go over to Tom Tom.
Yeah.
That didn't make sense to me.
So what else? Jack's continually complaining about the cost of the wedding, saying that, you know, the gifts better be good because this wedding cost $100,000. And, you know, he's been on Twitter and stuff talk because people have been calling him out for that.
Yeah.
And what he's saying is that production is making him talk about the cost of the wedding, which I don't know if I believe. Maybe they are. Maybe
I believe they probably are a little bit. What else does Jax have going on in the storyline? Nothing.
He's got nothing.
So let's talk about the cost of the wedding and what a cheapskate Jax is pretending to be.
Yeah.
Did her parents pay for nothing? I find that hard to believe.
Oh, I don't.
Really?
I don't think they can afford it. I mean, she's making money on the show. He's making money. I don't think her parents contributed.
So they think also that Jax has tons of money, which he might. I don't know how much he gets paid. He may have a pretty good amount of money now.
I don't know how much they get paid per episode. I would like to know, though.
What did you think of that Tiffany tea set that Lisa gave them?
I mean, I wouldn't want it.
I thought it was really pretty, but a tea set is very Lisa Vanderpump. Who else serves tea? Do you ever have tea? I have tea when I'm not feeling well in the evenings. Maybe once a year, maybe.
I pull out a pot and I boil some water. I do have a teapot from Alfred Coffee that came in my FabFitFun box.
Oh!
It's in the box up in the cabinet and I've never even taken it out.
So it's going to be a gift.
I'm going to re-gift it.
Yeah.
I don't know who yet, but I'm going to re-gift it.
Don't re-gift that thing to me.
Did you see Jax on Twitter? He goes on a tangent on Twitter and he's talking about where he lives and that there's actors and directors that live all around him. And
no.
Was dying because, you know, we've driven past Jax, right?
Yeah.
And he lives in this rundown neighborhood where his house is a teardown that they rebuilt, but it's amongst a bunch of very small, very rundown homes in Valley Village. And I'm thinking, how are these people your neighbors? You can't say that these people are your neighbors when they live in Sherman Oaks 8 miles away.
I don't consider miles away a neighbor.
No. So I was just dying when he said that. And somebody actually tweeted back and said, not in your neighborhood or something like that. Because if anybody knows where he lives, it's not an upscale neighborhood by any stretch of the imagination. His house is by far the nicest amongst a bunch of old kind of rundown homes.
So the other two that have similar houses, is it the same thing or how far are they living from that?
A couple miles, at least a mile in between them.
Oh, okay. It's the same
thing. Kristen Doty's is the only one that's, you know, her house is amongst others like her house in the neighborhood. But Sandoval's and I don't know where Katie's, I'm assuming it's the same kind of neighborhood, but Sandoval's is on a corner. And again, it's the same thing. It's a teardown that's brand new amongst a bunch of old homes. Small, kind of run down old homes.
Which is fine, but to say, we live amongst all these, you know, Hollywood types.
Not in that neighborhood.
All right, so the story of Danica confronting Max and all that crap. What?
The whole fake story of Max and Danica and the whole conversation where Max blames Danica for the breakup with Dana.
Yep.
Max doesn't even seem like he's even into Dana. Does he?
No. I think him and Dana are just a fake relationship. Like we talked about it. I don't know. I like Dana. I actually really do. I could maybe believe their relationship, but the fact that he gave up so early on it, it tells me that they weren't really in a relationship at all.
No, I don't believe this for a second. I think it's all part of the storyline. I mean, he's telling Danica that he was waiting for her to come into TomTom so he could kick her out. The whole thing was just so stupid.
Yeah, and then when Tom Sandoval found out that he was doing that, he's like, oh, no, my friend. You can't use your personal business to have people not come into TomTom.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not very professional. All right, so I got to address the fact that Lala is, quote, volunteering her time at Vanderpump Dogs. I would guarantee you she has been there the amount of times she has filmed there.
Oh, my God.
That is it.
That was the biggest scene ever where she's just moving bags of dog food on a shelf. She no more volunteers there than I do.
Show me her washing a fucking dog. I want to see that. I want to see her sitting with all this down and dirty. I don't want to see her moving dog food, like facing it so it's all perfect.
No, that was such a fake thing. And I don't even know why they are. Do they think we're stupid? Come on.
We know now. We know it all now. Let's talk about Lala and Raquel and their discussion. God.
First of all, flashback to Valerie Harper with that headscarf that she was wearing from the 1970s.
I don't know. Our listeners may not know who Valerie Harper is, but it was from Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Mary Tyler Moore, it's a 70s show. We're really dating ourselves. Yep. She used to wear a headscarf like that all the time, which is back in style. I don't know. But it's like, who the hell does she think she is?
Oh, she thinks she is something, Gina. The way she talks to Raquel. Now, listen, I don't like Raquel. I think she's, I feel bad for Raquel. She's a young girl who's in a horrible relationship with a shitty guy.
I don't feel bad.
Why don't you feel a little bit bad for her? She doesn't know any better.
No, because I think she wants to be on TV and she's going to do whatever she can do to be on TV. If it's, you know, being with James, who's abusive, whether it's whatever it is. She doesn't care. She wants her face on TV.
You may be right there. When she decides to stand up to Lala, she says, I'm going to tell Lala how I feel about what she said about me last year. She was like shaking, first of all. She could barely get it out of her mouth. And then she said, it's one thing to question my character. It's another to question my intelligence. Okay. You don't want somebody questioning your character. No, your character is all you have. If somebody questions your intelligence, that's just whatever. But your character is all you freaking have. She's saying, you can question my character. I don't care. But don't question my intelligence. Oh, no, we're going to do that.
Well, she said that it's hard to stand up to a bully, especially for someone like me, who isn't exceptionally, and I was thinking, are you going to say smart?
No. What'd she say?
Isn't confrontational.
Mm.
Well, who is confrontational? Nobody's confrontational.
I mean, I know a few people who would be confrontational. But Lala thinks she's hot fucking shit, and I'm over Lala.
Well, yeah, but she also said, you know, my time is precious, and I don't have time to waste on an idiot. And I'm thinking, who are you? Who do you think you are?
You are volunteering at Vanderpump Dogs. That's how precious your fucking time is, Lala. She really just thinks she's hot. It's crazy to me. You were nothing. You were she was a greeter, whatever she was.
Hostess.
Yeah. You're not even a freaking server at Sir.
No, and she just happened to
have an affair with a married man, and he fell in love with her.
Exactly. So we'll see what happens. I don't know, Anne. This whole show, I'm just losing interest rapidly. But let's talk about Sandoval's extra party.
Yeah.
Jax wasn't into it. Of course, anything that Sandoval does, Jax isn't going to be into. So right. He kind of came as himself. And he said, Jax says, yeah, the extra party is fun if you're 25. And I'm thinking, you're an asshole. You act like you're 18 half the time. So what are you talking about?
Plus, we see in scenes from next week that he has a party where he wants everybody to dress up.
Exactly.
He's a piece of shit.
So it's okay for him, but it's not okay for Sandoval. Yeah. Charlie came as herself, which I thought was kind of stupid.
I don't care about Charlie.
Logan. Now, I didn't even recognize Logan.
Oh, okay. So when I was watching it, I wrote my notes. Is Logan the one that was James' friend? And then they addressed it. I was like, oh my God, I was right. I didn't remember him visually, but I remember the name. And I can't believe that Lala brought him. By the way, Lala brought him also to the wedding in Kentucky.
Oh, he was there?
He was there. But nobody cared because James wasn't there. But as we recall, he's the one who basically was James' best friend at one point and said James and him had more of a relationship than a friendship.
Well, of course they did. Everybody knows that.
Well, and Lala's saying, yeah, it definitely happened. I was there when things happened. This is what I'm interested in. I want this storyline. I want the Logan, James, Raquel, Lala storyline. This is exciting to me.
That would be good. That would be good. Because Raquel still is in denial about that. And she doesn't believe it. But I guarantee it happened.
Well, she yelled at Lala at the party. Like, why is he here? No, I'm not going to talk about that. And then they leave. Because Logan said that he saw James at a party and he was wasted.
Yeah.
And I believe it because that's before James became sober. Because James was at that point.
Lala's saying it didn't happen. Now,
Raquel said it didn't happen. Lala's saying, I believe Logan.
Why is Raquel denying it? Did James not come home that night? I mean, she would have known.
Because she's an enabler.
God, such a sad situation.
Yep. It's a sad, sad situation. Ooh,
I know.
That was bad.
So she and Lala get into it, and we'll see more of that next week. I'm kind of over these parties and Sandoval and his dancing and his costumes. And
it's all about him. Now, the Witches of WeHo, we knew that their wine stopped, but I didn't really know why. But now we kind of figured out why it stopped.
Well, they kind of told us why.
Yeah, I mean, Stassi was rather mean. She's like, we're not friends anymore. And Kristen said, oh, we're all sisters here. And she's like, oh, no, we're not sisters. We are not sisters. That was pretty brutal.
Well, here's what I think. If the Witches of WeHo was actually making money, none of them would stop promoting it. It wasn't making any money.
Although, I would have ordered some just to see.
It was online only, right?
I believe so.
And plus, who's going to take the time to order it online if you can't walk into your Total Wine and More?
Or Costco.
And find it. You're not gonna take the time to go online and order, what, a bottle, two bottles of Witches of WeHo wine.
And I bet it was expensive also.
Yeah, I don't know. We should check and see if it's even out there anymore.
Oh, I bet we can get it on Amazon or something.
You think so?
Maybe. During this time is when we should be doing all this stuff.
I know, doing our research. So that's what I think. I don't think it was very profitable. Otherwise, they would have sucked it up.
So Stassi is very busy. I understand why she wasn't getting totally involved. But
yeah.
Katie has nothing going on, clearly. She even admits she really doesn't have much going on. What is Katie doing? She has no side business now.
She seems like she watches TV and she does a little knitting and what else?
Is it because Tom is a partner in TomTom and he's making all the money now?
Well, I think so. I don't know how much.
How much money are they making? They're not making that much money.
5%, is that what it is?
Yeah. Well, now they're not making anything because everything's closed.
Yeah. It doesn't look like the Witches of WeHo wine is it even out there anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm looking it up now. It's not there. Vanderpump Rosé is, though.
Oh, I don't like rosé. Somebody said they had it and it was horrible.
The Witches of WeHo?
No, the Vanderpump Rosé.
Oh, really?
I feel like rosé, every time I taste it, it all tastes the same. So if you like a rosé, why wouldn't you like Vanderpump Rosé?
Yeah, I've tried a lot of rosés and it's few and far between that I can actually find one that I enjoy.
It's just not one that I like. All right, let's move on to Summer House. Let's conclude with Summer House. All of the Instagram sites are like, what do you like better, Vanderpump or Summer House? What would your answer be?
You know, I think Summer House, just because it's a little fresher than Vanderpump.
That's what I say. I'm just kind of bored with Vanderpump right now. But Summer House, I'm a little excited about. First of all, I love summer. I love the Hamptons. And so I'm kind of into them being there.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. I'm envisioning me being there.
Someday. I had a hard time believing that Carl and Lindsay drove all the way from New York City to the Hamptons and didn't speak.
That's what I said. I said, why are they driving together? First of all, there's no one else that Lindsay could have gone with?
Sure there is. They all go.
It made no sense. And I'm sorry, but Carl and that friggin' douchey hat.
You know whose hat that is? That's Zach from Married at First Sight. They wear those stupid hats.
Zach's hat, and he was wearing that thing all weekend.
They think it's so fucking cool. It's not cool.
No.
No. Stop it. Unless you're in a bandana like Luke, stop it.
Well, Luke was a little douchey to me this episode, too.
I did not find him so douchey. Tell me why you think he's so douchey.
Well, because he clearly now has been seeing someone. So they go out to dinner and Hannah has no idea. And she's all revved up, ready to go, thinking that she's going to, you know, be hanging out with Luke all weekend and that they're going to get cozy. And all of a sudden, somebody asks a question about who has a girlfriend at this table. And he kind of gives this like halfway motion with his hand. And Hannah was like, what? Which, I mean, I understand she had a boyfriend and all that. And now he was, you know.
But it wasn't her boyfriend. So Armando, if that question was asked, she would have done the same thing, like half. Like, I don't know if I do, but I'm seeing someone.
Right, but we know that Luke actually slept with this girl. What's her name, Jelena?
I just feel like his response to her was, okay, like, listen, you had a guy you were seeing. I was out there kind of dating, like we both are. I met this girl. It's all of a sudden become something a little more serious. The only thing I think he's guilty of is it sounds like he was messaging Hannah all week long before going up to the Hamptons.
Well, that's it too. Every day he messaged her, talked to her, and then he gets there. And then the next day after that dinner, he wants her to go on, he wants to go rip it on his bike with Hannah. And I totally get why Hannah said no. I'm not getting involved with you if you are kind of in a relationship or moving toward that direction. I'm out.
But I also feel like she's been doing that with him all along. They've been friends. When she was dating Armando, they were out there playing tennis. They were having fun, flirty fun. And she admitted it was a lot of flirty fun. So why is this different? Only because she's all of a sudden realized, oh, I kind of like Luke. So it's kind of bullshit. I get Hannah's side, but I also think Luke did not do anything that bad. He doesn't have a serious girlfriend yet. He does call her my girl. So he brought her to meet Lindsay, like it was no big deal. I think he doesn't think it's that big of a deal. I think he thought it was a casual thing with him and Hannah, which it was. Hannah wasn't giving anything up. They kissed. That was all they did. It wasn't like him and Hannah slept together. I just don't think it was that bad.
Well, I think you're right. I think now because Hannah wants to move it forward and now she can't.
It was just very inconvenient for Hannah's schedule.
Yes.
What she expected that weekend. Now, what about Jules and Jordan? I feel like they made this whole thing up with Jordan likes a little S&M. This is a storyline that Jordan's like, let's pretend I have this thing with S&M. I want to be choked.
No, I totally agree. When she came with those fuzzy handcuffs, I was like, she was so awkward about it, and the way that she talked to the girls about it, nothing seemed natural and normal. It seemed like it was all put on. So I agree. I don't think that it was a real scenario that took place. I think it was all kind of fabricated for the show.
I do, because he's trying to come out better than he has been. And we've been saying that. Like, you've been saying, why the hell would he go on the show? He sounds like he has issues. Then she says, oh, we finally had sex. We finally both completed. Yeah. That whole proclamation feels fake to me. You and Jordan set this up to make him look better. And then he wants to make it seem like he's kind of this reckless guy.
Yeah.
And you're going to pretend like, okay, I want to put handcuffs on you. And he's going to be like, oh my God, what are you doing? I'm not that into you. I don't buy it. I don't buy it.
That was weird. And yeah. I agree with you 100%. And then for him to turn around and tells the group that he's not dating Jules and he's not feeling it with her and that she's not someone that he would bring home to his parents. And it's like, okay, Jordan, stop with all this BS.
He says that about every girl. So I don't feel like he's a real person. And even Hannah now will say, I don't know if I know the real Jordan.
But I find it super interesting the way that they all bring up all this personal shit at group dinners.
Sure.
It's like, oh my God, I can't believe the conversations that are taking place. And maybe they're told to do that for the show. But can you imagine having the conversations in a group setting like that?
No. And the whole mom's going up. I don't know.
Yeah, what was the point of that? They came for one night. Why?
I don't know. I think it was good to have them come for Kyle and Amanda's sake because they needed a little guidance. I like both moms. I think they're both very wise. And that's what they needed because they were on a mess of a roller coaster.
Well, they still are, but didn't you think it was weird that the two moms slept together in the bed?
Yeah, of course. I've known you for a lot of years, and we've slept in the same bed one time in New York, and that was to save money, and that was a king-size bed.
Yeah.
These are two possible mother-in-laws.
Who aren't even, like, friends.
No.
But
I'm glad they only stayed one night because they needed the next night to go out. The whole Carl and Sarah thing, I don't know what he's up to. He's just a player, I guess.
Ugh, Carl. I'm over Carl.
I'm glad that Lindsay has met someone. This guy is super cute. Yeah, I don't know about Carl. I feel like Carl's just, Carl could be off the show. He offers nothing. The only thing he offers is he's a, quote, player, which I don't really even think he is.
I don't think he's got that much game, to be honest with you.
I don't either.
Listen to the podcast that you recommended, Behind the Velvet Ropes, with Steven. It was really good, and Steven had a lot to say about Carl.
Yes, so I do recommend that one.
So, I think that was it for Summer House, right? And, I mean, we see next week, it looks like Jordan and Jules are kicked out?
Well, I don't know. We'll see what they are referring to. It sounds like Carl and Kyle decide they're going to kick somebody out. Now, Jordan and Jules should be kicked out. They're misfit toys. They need to go off onto the island. But the Southern Charm guys come, Gina.
Now, it was Shep and Austin and Craig, right?
I don't think I saw Craig, but I think it is Craig.
Just the three of them.
Yeah. Now, I think those three guys, they're a presence to be had. I feel like, not that Shep is that good looking, but I think Austin and Craig are very good looking. And they're all about 6'3", 6'4".
Austin in person, and he's very tall.
Yeah, and he's better looking in person, I think.
Yeah.
So he was kind of flirting with Hannah a little bit. Although we know that Austin is still together with, what's her name?
Madison.
Yeah, Madison. Oh, well.
We don't know what's happening with Southern Charm because they stopped filming.
Yeah, and now nobody's filming.
Right.
It's interesting with all these reality shows. We're going to all be caught up and there's going to be nothing to watch.
No, I know, but everything's going to come out at one time and it's going to hit and it's going to be crazy.
That's true. So you have started, of course,
Tiger King.
Tiger King, not Lion King. Okay. Tiger King. I officially finished. It's pretty interesting. What a convoluted story that is.
Yeah, and I don't know if we're going to talk about it when it's all over and we're all caught up, but it's a lot, and a lot of people are watching it, and a lot of people are talking about it, and there's such a misfit cast of characters, and it's very twisted. It's really difficult to even explain the story because there's so many different facets of the story. You have to just kind of watch it.
And you can't be doing other things. You need to sit and watch.
Oh yeah, because if you miss one part, you miss a lot.
And you may think one person is the same person as the other person. They all kind of look alike and you need to really sit and get into it. I think we won't be talking about it because it's too complicated of a story and everybody else is talking about it. But I think we should recommend it because everybody's watching it right now. I think when I put it on Netflix, they said it's the number one show on Netflix.
Oh, is it?
It came out at the most perfect time during this.
Oh, I know. Thank God.
Tonight, Friday night, Shots of Sunset is on. And I caught a live between Mike and Reza. Reza has not watched the last two episodes.
Really?
Yeah. And I punched in like, Reza, we loved you, and now we're so disappointed in you. Do you redeem yourself? But he wouldn't answer.
Ooh.
I know.
That was bold. Wow.
Did not answer it. Mike and Reza both said, Ali is the shadiest character ever.
Well, I mean, I believe it. I did hear him on a podcast, and he seemed like he wasn't the most believable person, so.
They're all excited because everybody's into Shaws, and I'm like, well, are we that into Shaws? I'm not that into that storyline.
No, I'm not either, and probably because it was a year and a half ago, and now we're kind of over it because we've already heard about it. And
yeah.
So now we're kind of reliving everything that happened way back when. Also, Shaws is on Friday night now, so how do you feel about that? I think Friday night is kind of like a death sentence.
Well, now that we're all home and we have to be home, I'm kind of excited about having it. Something to watch.
Well, we don't have Love After Lockup anymore, so that's over.
All right, I think that's it for this evening.
That's it. And until next week, we'll catch up on our other shows. When is that new Bachelor show starting?
Ooh, soon. Another thing is, do you ever watch Chris Harrison on his lives?
When I can catch him.
He's on almost every night on live Instagram. I say lives, we are talking about live Instagram. So he often taps into other couples from Bachelor Nation. So it's kind of fun.
Speaking of Chris Harrison, he's live right now.
Oh, see, every night he goes live with his girlfriend.
Wow.
Yep. Okay.
A lot of people are live.
Except us. We will never go live. We will save you from all that.
That's it.
Thanks for listening and hanging in with us. Bye.
Bye. There is nothing like a dame. Nothing.